All right, it's noon, and you're listening to WRIRLP 97.3 FM Richmond, and we're about to begin our local block with Chopping It Up Geek, hosted by the Cultural Chameleon. Support for WRIR comes from Carol Olson in honor of the McShin Foundation. The McShin Foundation offers peer-to-peer recovery support services which employ individuals with a substance use disorder to educate, mentor, and spread the message to individuals new to recovery. The McShin Foundation offers intervention services, housing support, and guidance. To learn more, call 804-249-1845 or visit McShin.org. All right, here we go. Time for Chopping It Up Geek.
This is Chopping It Up Geek, and I'm your host, the Culture Chameleon, and we're broadcasting on WRIR 97 FM Richmond Independent Radio. And today, I got a special guest as my guest and partner in crime. I got the one, the only, the LL Kid, one youngster, and host and creator of Nerd Soul himself, Michael. What's going on, man?
Yo, what's up, man? How's it going,
Dennis? Man, it's going good, man. So, you know, for the uninitiated don't know, we're going to call this the special mesh of the Titans because, you know, I'm the Titan on the East Coast. You holding it down as the Titan of the West Coast, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, well, you know, we both into the geek thing and all of that stuff. So we're going to talk about some movies. So, you know, the hot button topic today is Justice League. So... you saw it, I saw it. What do you think about it, brother?
I love Justice League, straight up. Like, I straight love, I had so much fun in it.
Yo, Justice League was pleasantly good. Like, I really was excited for it, and I was really rooting for it, you know? Unlike, there's a certain contingent out there that was saying it was gonna be bad because they said DC movies all been bad. I was rooting for it to be good, so I wasn't disappointed when I went and saw it. I was very happy with what they put out for us when I saw the movie.
Yeah, after the movie ended, like, I wanted to go back and see it again. And I know, you know, DC has had a rough time, but I mean, if you look at it, they're actually batting over 500 right now. I mean, out of the five movies they got, I like three of them. So, you know what I'm saying? I got love for Man of Steel. I love Wonder Woman. And Justice League is on point. So, I'm enjoying it. I'm having a good time, man. I can't wait to see go back and see it at IMAX because that joint was flames. That joint had fight scenes. The effects was on point. You know, the relationships was on point. Like, I'm sold on Justice League, yo.
Yeah, the movie was... I liked how everyone got their equal spot at being in front of the camera. Like, they put all the characters out there equally. Superman, Batman, you know, Wonder Woman, Cyborg, Aquaman, Flash. They all got like an equal shot at in turn in front of camera time. You know what I mean? No one dominated. Like, usually with a DC movie and Batman's in it, you know, he might get that preferential treatment because DC likes to go to the Batman well, but they didn't do that this time with this movie. Like, they really balanced the scales, per se.
Yeah, and I like how they, I mean, you know, Batman got his screen time, of course, but, you know what I'm saying, it definitely felt like a team effort especially once they got, you know, the members actually together. You know, they allowed Batman to kind of like slide back a little bit and give everybody else the opportunity to like really get in there and shine and have their, you know, put their two cents in on the situation. And it's something that the 9-year-old in me, you know, just had a ball with.
I can agree with you on that because just seeing all of them on one screen, we never really seen that before except for in a cartoon. But to see them like live action actors portraying these different characters and adding their personalities or putting forth their acting talents to bring these characters to life, flesh and blood wise versus on the animation palette, it was just something else, you know, to see that movie. And like I said, I felt like they really did a good job and it almost felt like I was watching a live action storyline kind of a little bit from a comic book. You know, like they did a good, it made me feel like when I close my eyes and you're imagining this stuff, when you're reading the comic books, it almost felt like, okay, they really did a good job of sequencing it based off of the comic book. Even though it's not based off of any particular storyline out there, I could see this being a comic book form first. You see what I'm saying?
All right. Yeah, and with that said, they were able to kind of like adapt this in a way where, you know, I mean, even though these are characters that I believe everybody kind of knows about intrinsically, I do think that they shot it in a way where they were able to kind of bring people in that were like, hey, I really don't know much about Batman besides just, you know, his parents died and he fights crime. You know, like those people that are just like really surface level. Like, I know his parents died, he fights crime, that's all I know. And, you know, able to make a movie that kind of is easy for them to get into and then tagged with like Easter eggs for us. So, you know, you got that comic book side where it's like adapted. It kind of like, you know, gives the comic book readers, you know, some love, but then also kind of gives the people that are like, oh, look at that party, oh, look at this piece, you know, opportunity to go back and see it maybe a second or third time and enjoy it again.
You know, with everything going on in the movie, they did just enough like little Easter eggs and things in the background to make you come back for more versus oversaturated with a lot of Easter eggs where you had to go see the movie several times or wait till it comes out on DVD, Blu-ray and have to pause to catch stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like it was kind of placed in a way where it's like you can enjoy this and go deep on it if you want, or you can kind of just like ease up and just take it at the surface level. And I think I really think this is kind of like, I think this is a big win that people are sleeping on. You know, I think this is something that like everybody wanted to be bad, and it's not bad, but now they don't know what to do with it.
Well, I could agree with you on that, but at the same time, it's not sleeping on. I feel like people just hating on it for no reason, or they just going in thinking one thing instead of being open-minded. I feel like there's a lot of people that have seen the Marvel movies and they're holding this movie against the Marvel stuff versus just looking at it as its own entity from DC. Like, yeah. Well, I have a friend, he'll ask me to compare movies and stuff. Like, he'll say, well, what do you think about the Star Trek movie compared to the Star Wars? I'm like, I can't compare them two. Those are two totally different movies. Yeah, they're both sci-fi space movies. But I can't compare a Star Trek movie to a Star Wars. I can only compare a Star Wars against other Star Wars or Star Trek movies versus other Star Trek movies. And even within Star Trek, like, I really can't compare the J.J. movies, the first, his three movies, against the original, well, not the original, the first 12 that came out, 10 that came out before his, you know? And this is what I feel from this movie. People have seen the Marvel movies and their formula, and Marvel kind of sort of has, not a kind of sort of, they do, they have a set formula, a cookie cutter formula. Like, they put these movies out as a, like a conveyor belt, an assembly line fashion, you know? After you've seen a few of these movies, especially like the first movie of a particular character, they follow the same exact formula almost, you know, for Marvel. And DC does stuff different. All Marvel movies, you know, tend to be more lighthearted and things like that. And, you know, if you notice every first introductory movie, the hero fights in the exact opposite of themselves, you know? And so,
yeah, it's,
go ahead.
I don't know. It's weird because it's like, you think that would, you know, that it would be good to have two different styles out there because, you know, I'm someone who's like, the more diverse the superhero genre gets, the better it's going to be because then they all won't be the same.
And you won't get tired of it. You won't get bored with it.
Yes. But at the same time, we do live in an era where fans will say, like, we want something different. And then when you give them something different, they're like, we want something the same.
Yeah, you can't, you can't satisfy them.
Yeah, so honestly, I like, you know, kind of where they're going. You know, like, the team aspect, they feel like they know each other. They feel like they get along. They feel like they understand, you know, each other's point of view. And that's what I enjoy. Also, the villain, the way they dispatch the villain. And hold up, are we spoiling or not?
We kind of are, but I'm not going to air this until January, so we good.
Oh, okay, cool. So if you haven't seen it by January, you're probably, well, by January, it might be out on video by then. But anyway, like...
What's a video?
The way they got rid of them was cool because it's not your average, you know, like there's the mothership and then it kills all the drones, you know, like that. Because, and this is no diss to Avengers, because I still love Avengers. It might be my favorite comic book movie of all time, but it did have that you kill the mothership and you kill all the drones kind of thing. And that's a trope that a lot of movies do, especially like superhero movies. You know, it's like you kill one and all of them like fall and stuff like that. And
yeah.
In this case, you know, Steppenwolf messed around and his people turned on him, which like kind of turned the tables on that kind of like aspect of getting rid of a villain. You know what I'm saying? So that was real cool.
And there's a possibility they didn't just upright and kill him either, because even though the parademons turned on him, he was getting boom tubed away, and you're like, who initiated the boom tube? Could that have been Darkseid calling him back for punishment? For failure to...
Yeah.
So there's possibilities we'll see Steppenwolf come back. You know, like with Marvel, the way they set up a lot of the movies, unless it's like a really cool bad guy like Loki, either the villain gets taken out the first movie and you might not see him again, you know? But, you know, Steppenwolf, he had a purpose. He was trying to get back into good graces and reclaim the Earth in the mother boxes. So.
Yeah, because he was... Dude got excommunicated or exiled or whatever.
Yeah.
And because he couldn't, you know, he couldn't, like, pretty much take over Earth like he was supposed to. Then once... You know, Superman died, he's like, word, all right, cool. Now's my chance. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, Aquaman is strong, but I can kind of handle him. You know, Wonder Woman's strong, but I can kind of handle her. Both of them together is tough, but I might be able to handle that. But, you know, when our boy came back.
When the Kryptonian came back, it was like, oh, dang.
Yeah,
well, you know,
like,
here's my thing. I'm sorry, this is a little bit of nerd to me. If that's the case, why didn't he pop up before Superman got to Earth? You know,
he did, because remember way back, like Superman wasn't there, but everybody kind of banded together and beat him up. Maybe he could have came back again, but I guess his pride was hurt, I guess.
Or he still needed some time to re-up and stuff before...
Yeah, he need to level up a little.
Like I'm saying,
bit.
Like show up in 1950 or show up in 1900 before Superman's around. But nah, that then we wouldn't have any movies. So that's just nitpicking.
Oh, also speaking of that, when it comes to the mother boxes, this shows how cool humans are not. The Atlanteans, they got this sweet little room with guards and stuff, and water and a little pillar. You know, the Amazon, they got this sweet room. Mad arches and stuff. Humans just like, all right, we'll just throw it in some dirt.
And look, they didn't even look like they dug the hole that deep. Like, that should have been at least 6 feet deep.
Shallow.
I know, that joint was like a half a foot, and then it was there. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, yo, man, we could have did a better job on our part. Like, because it feels like, I feel like that was about like 4 to 5 feet deep.
No, that won't 5 feet deep. That was less than that.
I feel like they were digging for about 30 minutes and they were like, all right, this is good. This will do.
Yeah. And if you just tuning in, this is Chopping Up Geek on 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. And I'm with my guest, one of my homeboys in crime, one youngster, LL Kid. So since we talked about Justice League, you know what's coming up later this next month, actually. Star Wars. How you feel about that? Seeing you're one of the resident Star Wars fans.
I am truly excited about Star Wars, especially since once this comes out, I will have seen it probably like 2-3 times. I'm still waiting. I believe I'm going to be able to see it on the 11th. Hashtag spoilers. No, I was just playing. But like, I believe I'm going to be able to see it on the 11th at the Disney lot. But I'm waiting on the confirmation. Star Wars is always going to be cool. I'm always going to love it. I've loved Star Wars forever. But after this movie finished and Rian Johnson directed it, and then they announced that they're giving Rian Johnson a Star Wars trilogy of his own, based on characters that we've never heard of or don't know about yet, aside from the current running, you know, saga, I was like, oh, they must really be happy about how this movie turned out. So then my level of excitement jumped, because I was like, all right, I'm already hyped because of Star Wars, but now this movie must be really good. But then it'd be like, yo, we like this movie so much, here, take three, have three movies of your own and just do whatever you want. Like,
hold up, do you really think they said do whatever you want? This is Disney we're talking about.
Well, no, okay.
Do whatever you want within our parameters.
Let me take that back. There is a story group. There's tons of comics and canon and stuff. But I do think that's why they're basing it on stories, or not stories, or people and characters that we've never seen before, because that'll give him a little more reign to kind of create his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the galaxy is a big place. So, you know, you take the galaxy, you know, he might be in the Outer Rim or something, who knows? Or it might be based on some Sith, or who knows what it'll be based on.
Yeah.
But it'll be cool to have something new, something that we've never seen before, and, you know, maybe something from a different point of view, maybe from the Everyman, or maybe from the Sith, or maybe from, you know, like, people that use the Force, but are specifically Jedi. You know, there's tons of different ways to kind of play with it that I'm excited to see, because it'll be something that's not tied to the Skywalker family. Even though I got love for Luke and Leia and all them, because this will unfortunately be Leia's last performance, but I am intrigued about, you know, the unknown, unveiling new characters, finding, you know, following new stories or mysteries or, you know, whatever that is, because I just love Star Wars as a whole, and there's so much. Because now they got, you know, they got a comic, they got a TV show that they've announced. Movies upon movies, and the animated series. There's tons going on to love. So this winter, this Christmas, oh yeah, it's on with that Star Wars.
I'm excited for it. It's something new. If they like that guy so much, why don't they just bring him back to do episode 9, you know? But maybe they want him to focus his energies on the new trilogy. And I don't mean that as a jab. It's just like, if the guy was that good, bring him back for the next movie. But I guess they wanted him to focus his energy on the new trilogy that he's going to get to be able to bring out.
The only thing I can think is maybe, you know, when he was writing and directing this one, they were like, oh, he has tons of creativity, you know, that he can't really use here. Because, you know, it's kind of like tied by dealing with Luke, dealing with Leia, dealing with Chewie, Han, Rey, you know, all of them. Like, he's got tons of, you know, because when you're writing a movie and directing a movie, you know, ideas flow and all that. And it was sort of like, hey, this guy's great. He has a ton of ideas, but he just can't do them in this story. But if we get him his own story that he can kind of like work with the story group and they do on their own, then he'll be kind of like free, as free as you can be, and something like this. Like, you know, like we were talking about Marvel or something. It's like, as free as you can be inside of that sandbox.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing I'm guessing, maybe. And then, you know, of course, you got JJ coming back, which I assumed would happen anyway. And actually, speaking of that, when they said Colin Trevorrow was out for episode 9, I was like, it's going to be J.J. Abrams. And people was all on me when it came on Twitter. People were like, nah, you crazy. That wouldn't happen. Nobody wants J.J. again. I'm like, look, they're just going to be mad, J.J., son. And what? Once again, I was right. Historically right when it comes to Star Wars, though, I was just saying. But I kind of saw it coming.
I don't even know what to expect the storyline to be. I've seen the trailers a couple of times, and that's it. So I'm happy that I've kind of not looked too deep into the movie. So when I go see the movie, I'll definitely be fully surprised, you know, by whatever they produce for us on the scene, on the screen. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah, definitely, man.
Another movie that's coming up big time this February, your boy Black Panther. How do you feel about that?
Real quick, I'm going to give y'all a spoiler for my movie review. Black Panther, 5 stars. So just letting y'all know that I don't even drop, because I already know it's going to be sweet. Like, I can feel it. I can feel it inside. But yeah, man, Black Panther, it's, you know, straight up, I've been waiting to see something like this on the big screen for a very long time. The representation of just blackness on the screen and the way it's presented is so just powerful, and it's so positive that, like, my mind is blown right now with what I've seen in the trailer. And, you know, from the makeup to the actors to the costuming, to the effects, they have really gone out to, you know, to really, you know, kind of drive the point home that this is a quality film. And Ryan Coogler's been killing it, man. Like, dude has proven on station, dude has Creed. Like, he's no slouch when it comes to getting his directing. So I'm very excited for this.
Yeah, me too. I've only looked at the trailer like once or twice. I've taken a different approach with trailers and stuff. I try not to overlook at them too much, because I want that surprise and mystique when I go see the movie for the first time. I used to really be big on watching trailers over and over again, but I've kind of cut back on that because I want it to be a surprise. I mean, I know usually when you get a trailer, they're only showing you but probably like a small percentage of the movie. But I just really want to try my best to be surprised and caught off guard, if possible, you know. So.
Well, I tell you, unfortunately, you know, with what I do, it's.
Yeah, you got it.
Depending on the movie, it's kind of hard.
Because you got to disconstruct. You got to disconstruct. You disconstruct and look at stuff and things of that nature. Another movie I'm also looking forward to. This is way down the line, but it's because of the Justice League movie. I'm really looking forward to the Aquaman movie.
Like, can I say it again?
I said because of Justice League, I'm really looking forward to the Aquaman movie.
Oh yeah, it was cool to see Mera and Arthur not really super eye to eye. That was interesting. So I definitely, you know, and of course we've already heard from Jason Momoa saying that, you know, when the movie happens, you know, he's not, you know, the, you know, like the king, the man that we all know and love. He's just there, you know, at the time. So I'm ready for his journey, because it definitely, the way they handled the underwater fight scenes and that, kind of how Mera did her magic, I think DC is on to something with this. And I think Atlantis can be like a really cool backdrop for a great story.
Yes, I agree with that too. The water didn't look too fake or anything like that either. So I think they'll do a really good job with that movie. Oh, I forgot another movie that's coming out. Isn't Ant-Man and Wasp coming out next year?
I know it's coming soon. I just don't know when.
Because I think...
Because I know Lawrence Fishburne's going to be in it. They've had a couple of set photos.
Wait. Lawrence Fishburne's going to be in...
I can't remember the date.
Lawrence Fishburne's going to be in Ant-Man and Wasp?
Oh, yes, he is. See, don't sleep on Morpheus, boy. That man got skills. He's going to be... He in both universes. Well,
I heard
I can't remember the character he's playing.
It comes out in July next year, because you know Marvel always brings out three, because you know they got Black Panther in February, Avengers in May. They always bring a movie out in May, and then they have Ant-Man and Wasp in July. So
I'm surprised they're so well. They're not super close, but I'm surprised they didn't want to try to have a movie a little later. But I guess, you know,
because usually
it's Oscar season, so there's no reason to try to do something in Oscar season, I guess.
Well, usually they bring their movies out. Usually the May movie is the one that starts it off. In May, then you see something in the summer, then something in the fall. But I guess with Black Panther, they were like, let's throw them a bone and put that in Black History Month. Really try to capitalize off of it.
Yo, they know what they're doing, man.
Marketing and advertising. Come on, man. Everything is not altruistic. Yeah.
Come on, man. Black Panther and Black History Month. And it's not corny. You know what I'm saying? Because if it was corny, we wouldn't be giving this movie love like we are. You know, like, this movie is not corny. You look at the trailer and you're like, good God, this is on point. So, yeah, it's, you know, they know what they're doing. It was like, look, let's put this in Black History Month. Let's go on and make $1 billion and be out.
Yeah. Well, one youngster, I really like to thank you for taking the time to do this interview with me. I really appreciate it. And we're going to have to get back together again for a joint collabo once again. And where can the people find you at?
All right. Well, you can find me online at One Youngster, which is oneyoungsta. And if you want to watch my videos on YouTube, all you have to do is search Nerd Soul, which is one word, NERDSOUL, and Google or YouTube. I'll come up, you'll see me, and check out some videos. And if you like what you see, make sure to subscribe.
Sweet. Well, this has been Chopping the Geek, and I've been your host, The Culture Chameleon. Tune in 2 weeks for another exciting and informative episode, and tune in next week for our episode of Inspiring Deep, hosted by our very own Carol Olson. And as always, my friends, stay nerdy, my friends.
Time for two Sifter movie reviews from TV Jerry.
Downsizing. In order to extend our planet's lifespan, a technique is invented that shrinks people down to 5 inches. Matt Damon plays the man caught in this tiny world after his wife abandons him. Once the novelty of the small versus large wears off, what's left is a forceful ecological lesson. Luckily, it includes a relationship with a Vietnamese woman, Hong Chau, in a delightful and sometimes touching breakout performance. There's virtually no humor, so what looks like it could be fun turns into a mildly involving drama and a heavy-handed tract on the foibles of human nature and the dangers of disregarding our planet's health. I gave it 3 out of 5 stars.
Here's review number 2.
All the Money in the World. Of course, the big story here isn't the plot. Teenage grandson of billionaire John Paul Getty is kidnapped while his mother, Michelle Williams, strives to save him. The real story is the recasting of the patriarch role